Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we're off.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. What are you looking at? We know you're either staring at your cell phone or your computer, because that's basically what we do these days, isn't it? What do you see that is wretched? Would you kindly send it to idea@wretched.org? Or if you have a question, comment, conundrum, or snark, feel free to fire away to, this is crazy, Jimmy's private phone number, 877-282-2337. And if he doesn't respond, it's because he's a jerk.
That's exactly what it is.
And because he can't. We apparently, we bought the software when Duran Duran was still making hits. Apparently, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Ralph. He's wondering, he said, Todd, I'm wondering if I understood a statement you made recently that salvation cannot be lost. Are you saying repentant sinners cannot do anything wrong not to make it to heaven?
There's a lot. Okay, first of all, my statement, you can't lose your salvation. I stand by that as firmly as I'm standing here. That means a genuine born-again believer cannot sin their way out of salvation. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. What is on the list of nothing? Nothing. What is nothing? It is what rocks dream of. It's nothing. So there is nothing that even your poor performance as a Christian cannot drag you or somehow propel you out of the kingdom. Now, having said that, now let's close that door. We've got that established. Could it be that an individual who is exhibiting an unrepentant lifestyle of sin isn't a Christian? And the answer to that, of course, yes. If you keep on sinning, you're of the devil. So an individual who is not warring against sin, who is constantly just swimming in a cesspool of ugh, that individual, the Bible would say, is actually of the devil. They're not a Christian, so they're not going to lose their faith. They're acting like a pagan because they are a pagan. So your security, it is certain, because remember, it resides outside of you. Your salvation is not in you. What do you mean? Is it in a bank someplace? Oh, no, it's in a much better place. It's in the person of Jesus. That's where your salvation is. It's outside of you. It is all totally, completely him. That means it's secure and safe. He who began a good work in you, he's faithful to complete it. He will not let you get snatched from the Father's hand. Your salvation, it is secure because it isn't up to you to keep it. Now, you're going to show that you have it in your works and your battle against sin, but that doesn't contribute to your status. You are safe because Jesus has your salvation secured in himself. Read 1 John. That will be helpful. 1 John 3, about verses 8 and 9. That the individual, however, who just loves sinning and claims to be a Christian, they would be saying, actually, what I am is a hypocrite. And that person can walk away from Christianity, but they can't walk away from the faith because they don't have it. 877-282-2337.
All right, this question is from David, and it's in regard to the scripture that talks about teaching your children and children's children. He's wondering, to what extent do grandparents have a responsibility to teach their grandkids about the Lord relative to the parents?
Teach your children's children. Okay, I'm thinking, what verse is that?
Deuteronomy 4:9.
It is. Okay, I knew it wasn't in New Testament, I thought it could be Deuteronomy when right. it talks about train up your child in the way you should go. And it says children's children.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, then you've got a responsibility. Yeah, you should do everything you can to reinforce what mom and dad are doing. Of course, it gets dicey if mom and dad aren't professing believers. Nevertheless, do you have a responsibility? Sure. Are you the one that is primarily responsible? I don't think so, because of probably in most circumstances access. But yeah, you should be seeking to go about the business of trying to teach them about Jesus.
Yeah.
Helping them memorize Bible verses in any way that you can.
I would say that it's not primary. It's kind of a reinforcing role.
Supporting them. And if yeah. I could take this opportunity, one of the greatest gifts I think we can give to our children is to praise them in front of their children. To let their kids know you got a good mom and dad. Oh, you're so blessed to have a mommy like that. Oh, God gave you a good daddy. They need to hear that from other sources, because the world's going to tell them they're idiots. They're stupid. They don't know nothing. They're toxic. They're overbearing. You got to build boundaries and put up gates and fences and let them disappear for your own sake. Of course, it is one of the most pernicious trends in our country. And I'm just thinking back to earlier this week when we talked about Oprah Winfrey, who contributed to that trend with the audacity on her podcast. Oh, isn't it terrible that kids aren't speaking to their parents anymore? You mean after you told them for decades to not talk to their parents and to protect themselves and use all of this therapeutic language to make sure that they never feel anything that is disruptive to their complete harmony and peace? So keep up the good work, Grandma and Grandpa. Or if you're from the South, Papa and Lulu. What are the Southern? Pop.
Paw-paw.
Paw-paw.
Yeah. That's about
it. And Maw-maw?
Yeah. Yeah. Meemaw, Maw-maw. That's what I say when I get behind a slow person driving. Come on, Meemaw.
Do you get to pick what you're called as a grandparent?
I think so.
No, don't do the Meemaw. I want grandmother. Something
very formal.
Well, whatever it is, whatever you choose, but do you get to choose it or does it just happen?
I think, and
I got to tell you something that I love the South. I love living here. I will say it. For as long as I have breath, this is a super groovy place to live. But man, my northern ear, when I hear Meemaw and Pawpaw, it's like, that is so Southern.
It is.
877-282-2337.
You look like a Pops.
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 You know what I want to, you know what? Grandpa, because I had a grandpa.
You had a grandpa, yeah.
So we could call him Gramps, too. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, I think it's because of the Italian, Nani. Nona, but Nani is the term that a lot of people use for grandmother. I'm not sure Mrs. Friel's going to go for that. 877-282-2337.
This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, are near-death experiences with visions of heaven legitimate?
Yeah, I want to tackle that carefully because your brain can do all kinds of stuff. So when you say, are visions legitimate in that, are you actually having some sort of a vision? Sure, you're seeing stuff. The question is, of course, is it actually, are you viewing heaven or is it your brain just synapsing and doing all kinds of stuff? I don't think that you're getting a glimpse of heaven. You can feel like, wow, I really saw it. Well, your brain can make you see lots of stuff. Your brain can create all kinds of images, especially it's not uncommon for people who are on the throes of death to think that they're seeing something actual when in reality, it's their brain creating images. But we don't have biblical permission to say that that God has just given you a little glimpse of heaven. And we also see these other stories. You got a glimpse of hell. You know, your brain sure did create that, but it wasn't actual because we don't get to go back and forth, and we aren't an apostle, and we aren't writing inspired Bible, and so we just don't get that. And besides that, that undermines the doctrine of the authority of Scripture. I don't need it. Furthermore, it's fascinating, isn't it? Paul actually did receive a glimpse of heaven. Did he share the deets? Nope. Too much. This is too much to even relate. And so we see just no precedent in the Bible that we get to get a peek into heaven, unless, of course, we're just reading our Bibles. And that's plenty. If you've never read Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven, I do commend it to you. It's going to challenge you. It really will challenge you. But I think ultimately it's going to excite you. And it is good to think about what heaven is like. And when you do, it's like, whoa, you mean we're going to be doing that? You mean my body is going to be like that? You mean we are going to get to see God and spend time? Let's go, Lord. Either come back or take me home because I want to be there real bad. And you can use your sanctified imagination all you want, but that's different than getting a view of heaven. We get a view of heaven through knowledge, through revealed scripture, and through the pictures that are painted for us, even in Revelation. So think much about heaven. But don't expect to be having some sort of a journey or spiritual door open for you, even if you happen to be near death. And if you are near death, you're going to be there soon enough. This is Wretched Radio.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting, just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 Steps to Becoming a Man After God's Own Heart. And it is not what you think. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. We thanked them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. Well, join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sensus literalis. The Bible is to be read in the literal sense. the way the author and original audience would have understood it. There is no code, no secret meaning to be uncovered. The Bible is plainly written so that all people can know God through its pages.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let us get down with our bad selves.
1-877-282-BEEP.
At least as bad as we can. This is Wretched Radio. That's the number of the old toll-free. Why don't you send us something, including comments? Certainly, you talk back to us. Put those thumbs to work. And let us know what you're thinking. 877-282-2337.
Okay, this is a question from Seth. Todd, to keep it short, I miss Steve Lawson. He was a really exceptional preacher. Yeah. And I was just wondering your thoughts on whether it would be wise to still listen to a fallen preacher's messages.
Nadia Ferran, it's up to you. There are some people that they just couldn't do it because of that. But there are others who are like, I can see past that. I can glean. I can get the good stuff out of it. And it doesn't compromise their walk. So how do you know? I think the better test is, does it do anything that causes you to compromise or stumble in any way? If it does, don't. If it doesn't, it's optional. You can or you can't. 877-282. We did drive-by theology together. It was awesome. It was really awesome. But we decided to remove it simply because, and we didn't want to be providing something that might cause somebody to kind of trip up a little bit, because some people are like, I can't do that. And to you, I would say, then you absolutely shouldn't do that. 877-282-2337.
This is from Alexandra. Todd, I've recognized that I tend to fall more into the workspace ditch. I believe I'm a Christian. My only hope for salvation is in Christ. But I've also noticed that when I do something I know honors God, I feel like he's happier with me. And when I feel, quote unquote, neutral or sinful, I think he's more angry or unhappy with me. Any advice?
Yeah, I need to listen better, or Jimmy needs to articulate better. Dude. I'm immediately going, oh, so she's a workaholic, because I heard you say work space.
Works based.
Yeah, see, there it is. Okay, you know what? It's you. It's on you. I'm going, okay, some people are workaholics. That is something you got to watch out for. We should be working people. We should be hardworking people. Simultaneously, there are other responsibilities. And there's also your walk with the Lord. So we should be hard. And there's a lot of people who can fall into the ditch of work. I could trip there. I might even be in that ditch, quite honestly. I like to work. I do. I like to. I'm also married. And, you know, there's some responsibilities there. And I've got kids. And, you know, we do some stuff around here and at the church. So you got to find that balance, but that's different than works based. Boy, now I know why you kind of slurred over it. That's a kind of a bit of a, isn't it? Works based.
Yep.
Bit. Work. So this is an individual who has a we're all that way. I think that's our natural bent. Even as believers, there's just a little something inside of us that goes, I think I better just make sure. I think I better contribute something. I gotta do something here to secure or make my salvation steady. Well, that propensity needs to be warred against. And it doesn't mean that you accept that propensity just because we all seem to have that tendency. You need to be listening to other sermons. Now, I'm not saying stop listening to the sermons that you're listening to, but you need to be listening to sermons that remind you it is all of Christ, all of Jesus. You do nothing. And you need to simply be reminded of that over and over and over again. We all do, quite honestly. I was just reading a treatment, somebody's treatment on, it was the history or the study of preaching. And there was actually, it struck me because it said that because we all have the bent toward work righteousness, that means the preacher has that bent too. And then if you've got that bent from the pulpit and the person in the pew has that bent, you got to be really, really careful to make sure that we are Protestants in our preaching. We are saved by grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone, and we rejoice in that. Now, doesn't mean we're not willing to talk about sanctification and the necessity of the believer actually bearing fruit in keeping with salvation, but we're the people who can, we should be pronouncing and announcing, just like the epistles do, grace, grace, grace. Now go do stuff. You got to have that. We're in 1 Peter right now at Alpharetta Bible Church, and that is exactly what, that is the pattern in 1 Peter. Everybody tends to use Ephesians and to talk about the first three chapters, man, it's just all gospel, gospel, gospel. It's all the indicatives before you get to the imperatives, and then 4, 5, 6. Yeah, well, that's true. But it's also true of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, ask yourself the question, what in the world is Peter doing by giving 13 verses on the gospel up front when he's addressing people who are suffering? They're suffering. And he just, gospel, 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 gospel. What's he doing? He's laying the foundation. Everything that you are, everything that you're supposed to be doing, it is based on salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so then when he goes about the business of addressing sanctification, submission, and suffering, it's grounded in grace. And that is Christian preaching. That is preaching that regularly proclaims the good news that all of the work is done because of Jesus Christ. And we rest in that. And because of that, then we live in that and we bear fruit because of that. Any preaching that doesn't present it that way, any sermon that doesn't make sure that every single command that is given, there's an echo of the gospel surrounding it, it's going to cause people to lean toward works. It just will. And it's very easy to do as a preacher, so give your pastor a pass when he does that on occasion, because it's an easy thing to do. But you need to hear more preaching that encourages you and reminds you. Your works, P.U., they're filthy rags, dog vomit, stench of an open grave, the pus from an open wound, but not the works of Jesus. Perfect. Spectacular, magnificent, and plentiful, and you get them all. You get them all, and you rest in that, and then you go to work because of that, not in order to attain that. I'm sorry, can't help it. So this is why I encouraged you at the beginning of the year to consider slowing down in your reading. We're in 1 Peter 1. Todd, you've told us. We're in 1 Peter 1 right now. We just started. We did 1 Peter 1, 1, which I called the envelope. Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, 2. So it's just the envelope. Well, we're getting as far as verse 2 this Sunday. Not every Sunday will be this way, Alpharetta Bible Church. We won't do one verse a week, but it is this magnificent greeting. But loaded inside of this greeting, it's interesting, isn't it? It talks about our Trinitarian salvation. Now, why is that there? Peter already is saying, don't forget who you are. I know you're suffering. We'll talk about that in some detail, but you need to remember that you are elect, chosen by the foreknowledge of God from the redemptive work of the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus Christ to obey him. Remember that. Remember, keep remembering that. And then the actual salutation, which is not a formality, may grace and peace be multiplied unto you. It's connected to that aforementioned Trinitarian salvation verse. Think about your salvation. You have been elected. That's who you are, alien. That's who you are, stranger. That's your foundation for life and for living. That, yeah, there's wanderings, there's struggles, there's suffering and pain, but you are his, which is actually the title of the sermon for this Sunday. Did I mention we're doing 1 Peter at Alpharetta Bible Church? You're his. You're his. Look for sermon titles like that. Look for sermon titles that don't indicate that I was just reading some. Yeah, okay, I know where I was reading them and I don't need to mention the source. It was all the, you know, how to experience, how to spend, they're going to just weigh you down because they're all life hack messages. And what does that mean? Do stuff. All right. We don't ignore the imperatives, but if the sermon is just all about how you're supposed to change, what you're supposed to do, how you can get along better, how you can have a happier home, how to do stuff, you're going to start leaning toward works. You just will. Okay. This is what Christianity is about, doing stuff. Uh-oh, I'm not doing enough stuff. That must mean I'm not a Christian. That's why you need to look for sermons that still have imperatives to be certain, that still talk about wrath and judgment, the fear of the Lord, but that will also make sure that your foundation in your thinking is remembering that you are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, wrought by the Holy Spirit alone. That's your identity. That's who you are. You are His. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.